I definitely did not think that I'd be in the position that I was at all. So I think, for those listening, it's just like you might not know what it looks like later on, but the thing that you can do now is just focus what's in your control, and I think that's what I'd had done back then.
Episode ini disampaikan dalam bahasa Inggris. Kalau dibutuhkan, kamu bisa melihat caption dengan scroll ke bawah di aplikasi Spotify untuk mendengarkan sambil belajar. Halo teman-teman, gak terasa udah Jumat lagi. Pada episode kali ini, aku berbicara dengan Archer Newton, seorang yang aktif berbagi metode belajar dan strategi produktivitas di media sosialnya. Archer juga bekerja sebagai Senior Learning Coach di I Can Study, sebuah organisasi pendidikan internasional yang mengedukasi banyak orang tentang cara belajar yang lebih efisien. Kali ini, kita membahas bagaimana caranya menjadi pembelajar lebih baik dan banyak hal menarik lainnya. Selamat menikmati. Right, Archer, thank you so much for being here.
All right, thanks so much for having me, Zahid.
Yeah, it's such a shame that I wasn't able to meet you in Australia.
I was very surprised. I was just like checking my phone and I was just like, oh my gosh, Zahid's in like Sydney. And I was just, I wasn't there at that point. I was in Melbourne, but I think I went to Sydney right after you left.
Yeah, exactly. But you are normally based in...
Yeah, so I'm actually like in Adelaide, but I'm in the process of moving to Melbourne. My whole life is moving there now just because of the work and how much travel I do.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Has bigger city, more fun, more better vibes in my
I
opinion.
see.
Adelaide's kind of like a small town, so every time I go out I'll see someone I know, but Melbourne's like a new city, so it's just really exciting, and I'm just excited to kind of move. So I'll be there literally next week is when I move my whole life.
Next week you'll be moving to Melbourne.
Yes. So everything.
But your whole life you've been in Adelaide.
So I I grew up here. It was basically where I did high school, primary school, but again, kind of like I got to know some people who I work very closely with in kind of the business that I'm at, and everyone's in Melbourne, and I'm always flying to Melbourne or going to Sydney, and it's just like it's going to be easier to just kind of move over.
So you'll be in Melbourne for good now.
That's the plan. Yeah. So, a lot of my friends are in Adelaide, but I spent a month in Melbourne in October. Oh, actually November. So I was in India for a month in October, just kind of again going to like different schools and universities, talking about like how to study better, productivity, and kind of sharing all these things. And then I just decided to kind of like hang out in Melbourne for all of November and just see what it's like. And it was a lot of fun, and I made a lot of new friends as well. But I'm sure you had like good experiences when you were in Sydney, just kind of exploring and everything, similar sort of thing.
Someone told me that I spent about 2 weeks in Sydney and like 3 nights in Melbourne, and someone told me that it should be the other way around. and I sort of agree.
Well,
maybe
it
I should
depends.
Have
It
spent
depends.
More time in Melbourne, yeah. But
Yeah, it depends what kind of person you are.
we did get some insight on who you are and what you do. You were just recently in India and you did mention a little bit about it, but can you tell us a bit more about who you are, what you do? You were in India, what for?
Sure. So I think this is always the most complicated question to ask someone like me, just because I don't know how to describe it. But for the past 4 years, I've been studying medicine. And this year I took a gap year. So I took a break, right? My mom cried that I was taking a break from medicine. But I really wanted to explore what I've been working on in the background for the past few years anyway. So another thing of about like my YouTube channel and what I do online is that I teach people how to learn more efficiently or how to study more efficiently. That was really important for me going into medicine, because otherwise, I wouldn't have had a life. And so part of going to India with the organization that I'm with called I Can Study is that we're trying to change how the world learns. So we've, dived into the research from the past 10 years of what there is said about studying. And, there's a lot of stuff out there on YouTube that talks about, evidence-based study techniques. But in us really, really diving into it, there was actually a lot of things that hasn't been shared or hasn't been talked about enough. Everyone's talking about active recall, spaced repetition, but there's a lot more to this, like cognitive load theory, inquiry-based learning, and this kind of self-regulated learning as well. And so this sort of stuff we realized actually makes much, much, much more of a difference if you develop a whole learning system. Active recall and spaced repetition is really just like a small part of it. And so going to India was part of getting that out to that audience. We kind of get these emails all the time of people telling us like, wow, like this, completely just changed the way that like I can study. Like I feel confident. I feel more like confidence in myself. I can talk to my family without just being, worried about talking about my grades all the time. And then when we get these emails, and I'm sure you get these sort of things as well, just like sometimes you get these extremely long, you know, messages from people. But one of the things that happened here for us is that it always said, come to India. And so we essentially were like, okay, I guess we got to go if everyone keeps saying, come to India and see it for ourselves. And so we went and we were presenting at schools and universities, just sharing these sort of techniques. And, you know, they absolutely loved it. So I'm actually going back to India again in February, just before I go to Japan. And yeah, we're going to kind of get the word out there more because, you know, this really started to help them. And now they're talking about it a lot more. Yeah.
Okay. So put simply, you are a study expert.
Well, yeah, I guess we can call it study guru, but don't necessarily want to be a guru. Yeah.
Yeah, I see. But so you are now, you position yourself as a guide that's, you figured something out and then you want to take people along the journey with you.
Yes. Yeah. We want to get the word out there just because we know how much this has an impact on people. And I got to speak to a lot of students inside of their homes. And, you know, the as I said, like the true impact that this has just beyond your grades, like your confidence, your belief in yourself, and then just actually seeing the world in a different way. Like you wouldn't have thought that comes from just learning how to study better.
Yeah. When did you realize that you are actually kind of good at studying?
Oh, my journey started by watching Ali Abdaal, which is, I guess, how we kind of, you know, met each other.
Yeah.
That's now like, what, 4 or 5 years? It's crazy how long it is.
So let's just give some context. Actually, met Arsha when we both, I think, took the Ali Abdaal's YouTube course in 2020.
Yep, the very first one, I think.
Yeah, and then we were like, most people were from the UK, the US, a lot of the, you know, way different time zones to where we were. I lived in Indonesia and he lived in Australia. There was just a 2-hour time difference between us. So we attended a lot of the same sessions because of that. And now we're here. So yeah, keep going with that.
It's crazy how fast the time goes. And, you know, you've had a lot of success as well. And then, yeah, it's just crazy to see how things are going for you. But yeah, it's just good to see.
Appreciate it, man. Okay, so let's take it back to the story. So your journey started from watching Ali Abdaal, you said.
So that's when I started to like get good at studying. And then I got into grade 12, was the final year of high school in Australia. And applying those skills like was really good for me. Like I had a lot of free time. I was able to party as well as focusing on my grades. I ended up getting the top score that you can get in Australia, which is called a 99.95 ATAR. And then I got into medical school. And then I realized that like, yeah, I felt okay with studying in high school, but medicine is just like literally drinking from a fire hydrant. It's just like completely a whole other thing. And then all these techniques that I learned no longer were working, right? So that's when I kind of like found out a little bit more about I Can Study and join the team there and develop more of that learning system. And I think that's when I started to realize that I was getting quite good at learning or studying. Because, you know, instead of my hours of study going up as you go through the different years of medical school, my hours of studying were going down.
Wow.
So like as I was, the content was going up, I was studying less and less and less. So like for the final year of med school that I had just before I took this gap year, I was studying maybe like anywhere from 7 to 12 hours a week for medical school, which is less than some people do in high school. Yeah.
Well, okay, obviously you're now a changed man, but there was like that transition period where you sort of thought, okay, this is how I improve my studying, and you did improve your studying skills and all. What was it like before?
In like before when I didn't know how to study?
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me in primary school, like, I got around B's and C's and I didn't really think about myself as a smart kid. My mom would always compare me to like, why can't you be like, you know, this girl who's getting like A pluses, whatever. She told me that when I got into high school, she'd give me like money if I started getting A's. And then I started to get A's just by putting effort in. But then I never got paid. So mom still hasn't paid me out for that. But like what happened for me is that I first started off by putting in more effort. Like that's what we all do when we want better grades or results. And then as I got into grade 10, I realized that that wasn't working anymore. And so grade 10 was the time when I realized about Ali Abdaal because I was in such a bad state. I was getting decent grades, but like mentally just completely exhausted. I knew that if I were to get into medicine, it was not possible with the amount of effort that I was putting in. Every single minute outside of my extracurriculars, like music and sport, I was literally studying. I like, even before going to sleep, I would try and go through my notes so that I could revise in my sleep. Like, this is how bad it got for me. And I really thought that there was not a way that I could actually get around this. But then it was when I started to really just look, I basically just looked at all of the smart kids who were in the years above me. And I was just like, how do they do this? Like, either they're born with it, which is not very a useful way of thinking about it, or they've done something to become consistently good at it.
Yeah.
And then that's when I realized, actually, you know, well, if millions of people are going through school all of the time, there's got to be a better way of doing this. And then that's what led me to the research. So in year 10, that was extremely tough time for me. And now just like, I mean, that's almost getting close to like 10 years ago or something like that. It's scary. But I definitely did not think that I'd be in the position that I was at all. So I think, you know, for those listening, it's just like, you might not know what it looks like later on, but the thing that you can do now is just focus what's in your control. And I think that's what I'd had done back then.
Right. So you were getting not so satisfactory grades, and then you started initially by putting some effort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is, I think, a concern of quantity versus quality. So initially, I think I would assume that you put in a lot of quantity first.
Yeah.
But at what point should one transition from putting in a lot in terms of quantity to starting to shift to putting in more in terms of quality?
Good question. I think what it comes down to is like, you first have to look at your methods that you might have for studying or learning, and you have to determine if you feel like you're putting a decent amount of effort into it. Like, let's say you're putting 8 hours in of study, and then you go to like 12 hours of study. Like, you kind of have to take a look at those extra 4 hours that you've put in, and if it's really leading to a proportional increase in your results. And if you start to see that it's tapering off, I'm sure that you're familiar with, but you know, for those listening, like, the law of diminishing returns is what really becomes apparent here. And if you're starting to like reach your maximum of hours of study being inputted into, you know, just sitting at the desk and doing the work, if you're starting to reach your maximum and you're still not getting your results, then something has to change, and it's the methods that you have to take a look at. Because what is most likely happening is that you're compensating for poor study techniques. And when I speak to a lot of students, often I ask them about how they're studying. They might be in like university, second year now. And I ask them, okay, is the way that you study now similar to the way that you studied in year 12? And they're like, yes. I was like, okay, how similar is that to the way that you were studying in year 10? And they're like, oh, pretty similar, just the more of the same. But it's like, if you have a completely different challenge now, the questions are harder, more difficult, more in depth. You can't be using the same methods, but just more, because it's a completely different challenge. So I think that, you know, again, we're not taught how to do this, but changing those methods and adapting them is almost always the best way to kind of, I guess, upgrade your results, as opposed to just putting more effort in, because there's a very, very finite amount of effort that you can put in before you max out.
How did you teach yourself these techniques?
For me, it was a lot of trial and error. So as I mentioned, and this is what I don't recommend to people to do, but I had gone through that period. So grade 10, right, I realized that these things are not working. So grade 11, I started applying all the stuff that I heard, you know, from Ali, and just literally experimenting with it. So my grades throughout year 11 were going up and then down, up and then down, because I didn't know what I was doing, right? I just knew that this stuff is supposed to be working, you know, it should be good. And so then I was very lucky personally that in the holiday period before grade 12, I kind of had figured it out enough, because I started also reading a lot about like the research that there is on learning. So I started getting into like, you know, the generation effect, self-spontaneous, you know, explanations and inquiry-based learning and all this sort of stuff that's quite, you know, connected when you start looking into active recall and spaced repetition. And I was just lucky enough that I was able to put it together. I know people who exactly did try to do the same thing, sunk, hundreds of hours also reading the research themselves and weren't able to do it. Which is why, again, on my channel, I try to kind of just like cut the chase and tell people what actually works, as opposed to them having to go through 2 years of trial and error themselves.
Okay. And then you got into medicine. Was this something that you planned for a long time, or did you, how did you come to the decision?
Yeah. So to share a little bit about it, grade 10 is a pretty big part of my life. I realized that, and I hope this doesn't, I guess trigger anyone. So I just kind of want to put that out there. But I haven't shared this too much, but I have started to share it more. In grade 10, my dad had really poor health, which is why I started to put so much effort in. Because when he was admitted to ICU with, a heart attack and pneumonia and all this sort of stuff, like I knew my life was going to change forever. And for me, I realized that whether he survived or not, like studying was my way out. And that's where I started to develop the kind of passion for medicine. I saw all the stuff that they did for dad. I got really interested in learning the technology myself. But I knew that if I didn't get good at studying, number one, I wouldn't get a good job and stuff later on. Number two, like the time with my dad was limited. Like if I was going to focus studying so hard, then I wouldn't even have time to see my dad, which is like pointless, And so going on that journey, like that's why I became actually like so focused and just like consumed by trying to become more efficient. And I'm so lucky that, with the time that I did have with dad, I was able to sort that out. And yeah, that's really what got me into medicine initially. And then yeah, just all throughout, I kind of saw what was happening to dad, and I started to learn more about it with medicine. And studying is always just the thing that allowed me to, one, not only survive now without him, because my mum doesn't necessarily work, and then two, just really to have more time with dad. That's what it was.
Yeah, this is a brave thing that you've done, and thank you for sharing it with me here. And this is something that I'd like to just like ask you, because it seemed like at this very low moment of yours, it seemed like you were able to just get much stronger, and as a result, your studying improved, your grades improved, and it opened up a new, completely new path for you, and that is to medicine. I also get a lot of DMs, emails, and whatnot from people saying that, well, generally, like what I do on YouTube, it seems like I'm this like productive guy and everything, because I do this and this and this. So they're like, in the email, they would usually write, "I cannot be like you because I have these things going on in my life." I don't know how to respond to that, because obviously a lot of the challenges I haven't gone through myself. But as someone who's gone through such a challenge and being able to like get on top of them all, what would you say?
I think firstly, I appreciate being in a similar position to you as well, where I get those messages. I think just for everyone to firstly understand that like it is tough. I mean, those situations are always hard, and they're also unique. So when I give these thoughts and ideas, like, the intent is always to help, but I don't know the full extent of the issues, right? But for me, just to start off with, again, like I knew that there was real, it made things really black and white for me. It's like either I accept this reality and then just let these things really get to me, which 100%, like there are multiple times, almost every day, especially in year 10, where I was like, I don't know if I can do this. But the alternative is either accept the reality or make my reality. And so a big quote that I stand by now, because I've taken a gap year from medicine and I'm exploring different stuff, is that reality is negotiable. And that has been the most empowering thing for me throughout ever since year 10. Like, I don't, without getting into the whole talk about like discipline and like hustle and like no motivation, all this sort of stuff, I think a lot of the time we can make those choices and push ourselves towards in the positive direction. there were so many times where like I'd get hit with a bad grade, or there'd be literally another emergency with my dad, and there was all the reasons to kind of like go and give up. But I think that just the way that I personally looked at it is that I would rather try and fail rather than just give up and fail immediately. So I mean, all I'd really say for anyone who's kind of going through something is just like, just keep going, because if you keep going and keep putting that effort in, then it's going to come to a point where it's unreasonable for you to not fail. And that's the journey that I'm taking as well with, trying to grow, social media and get the word out there about these study techniques that have done so much for me, but also the people that I've met in India, the US, and around the world.
Thank you so much for that, Archer.
Halo semuanya, dengan bahagia aku ingin mengabarkan bahwa podcast kita masuk daftar top 3 new podcast of the year oleh Spotify, dan itu semua karena dukungan teman-teman yang luar biasa. Terima kasih untuk semua yang selalu dengerin, share episode, dan menjadi bagian dari perjalanan ini. Antusiasme teman-teman benar-benar membuat aku dan tim terus semangat. Aku juga pengen ngucapin terima kasih kepada seluruh tamu keren yang udah berbagi wawasan dan cerita berharga mereka di podcast ini. Untuk mengundang lebih banyak tamu dan narasumber yang luar biasa, aku mengundang teman-teman untuk memberikan review jujur setelah mendengarkan podcast ini. Semakin tinggi angka reviewnya, semakin kredibel podcast kita terlihat, dan semakin mudah pula untuk menciptakan berbagai kesempatan kolaborasi. Terima kasih sudah menjadi bagian penting dari Udah Jumat Lagi, dan aku sangat excited untuk masa depan yang semakin penuh dengan pengetahuan.
You just mentioned this now, but you've also, even though you've improved a lot in terms of studying, but occasionally you do also get like bad grades. And this is, I think, something that can really shake people to their core when they've been like putting all the effort. They put in substantially more effort than everyone else, but they end up getting like an average grade or below average grade. How do you deal with bad grades?
Oh, that's such a tough one. I think, again, a lot of the confidence that I get is from understanding the methods, right? So, I mean, the kind of relationship that a lot of people have with studying and learning is like, let's do these things that we kind of know are good, and like your teacher says do this, your tutor, your professor says do this, your friends who are high achievers say to do this. You kind of put all that effort in, and then you just hope, that this result comes out. But the thing that gives me and a lot of students confidence is that when you start to learn more about how learning actually works, you can see the input always leading to an output. Like it creates this reliable thing. Now, for anyone who kind of wants to Google about this, this is called like the black box effect. You put an input into the black box, and because it's black and you don't know what happens inside of it, you just hope, poof, you get a good grade. Yeah. But as you kind of like uncover that black box and learn the mechanisms of learning and how, like for example, when you're studying, you need to know how the note taking actually leads to things being incorporated into your memory. If you don't know how to properly take notes and what leads to stuff being better retained versus not, you're just literally gambling every single time that you sit down and study. So that in itself, I would say, is like the real solution to like being able to deal with bad grades, is that you will then be able to reverse engineer. If you get a bad grade, you'll be able to know it's because I didn't do this thing exactly. And then that gives you the certainty of not blaming yourself, but blaming the methods and what you were using. And then you know how to change that for next time. So I think for me, like dealing with bad grades, when they come, it doesn't really get to me that much, because I know it's not me. It's just the methods that I was using. And I just need to go back to that. And again, that takes forever to kind of have that reframe and shift. But as you kind of learn more and more about this, you'll start to see that. And the one thing that I wanted to add on to that is just that, a lot of people ask me about like confidence, how do you become confident in your learning and don't stress out before exams and stuff? Confidence just comes from experience. And so if you are able to continue to develop positive experiences by using certain techniques and seeing them pay off, then that will make you confident. That's how you really get it.
Now, what do you think? I think, well, when you get a bad grade, it's obviously you've got some confidence issues to try to work on. And I think a huge source of this confidence issue is comparison. What do you think about that?
Yes, isn't there? There's some quote or something about like comparison is the thief of joy or something like that,
Exactly
right?
like that, I think.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Perfect. Yeah.
Comparison's a big thing, and I compare myself a lot to, for example, you.
Really?
And like, yeah, like just other content creators and what we're doing, as young people, and how we're all just like exploring these different fields. But the way that I try and get around it again is just by thinking about like, well, I mean, you didn't have the thing that I had in grade 10, then you probably had something else, and everyone else has something different. But it comes back to what's in your control. So I always compare myself. This is what I do for myself every day. I compare myself to who I was yesterday, and have I improved? And everything that I do, I work extremely hard, and I hustle a lot because I am working for my future self. So I want the future version of me to be like proud of who I am today. So when it comes to comparisons and everything, I mean, I tell myself that it's really futile to compare you to someone else because what does that do? Like, it does nothing for you. And it just makes you sad. And you never compare yourself to people who are below you to make yourself feel better. It just doesn't happen. So I always just like focus on myself, future and past version of myself.
Yeah, that's interesting because I do sort of like compare myself to you in some way, but not in a ho hostile kind of way. But I just look at you and admire your graft in studying, and it's amazing what you've done. And
Appreciate it.
you've just gone through a another big transition in your life, and that is your gap year, in which you told me earlier that when you told your mom about it, she cried. What's the story like?
I again was always doing business and entrepreneurship alongside medicine. So, teaching people about learning, studying, creating the YouTube, and I ran other businesses as well, like Minecraft. Those were my first days. It's always been something very, very exciting to me. And what happened is at the end of last year, kind of the opportunities really, really blew up. And there was now this kind of crossroads that was made for me where it's like either I go on this journey this year and kind of dive into traveling the world and spreading this kind of stuff about learning. That's why I was in the US for a month this year and also India. Or I continue through medicine. Now, for me, like, first question that people ask is like, oh, do you not enjoy medicine then? It's like, no, I actually really do. Like, I enjoy learning about it. But now, as a lot of my friends have become doctors and stuff, there are certain like systemic issues in healthcare systems in Australia, but also around the world. And you started to see some of the realities. So I really enjoy medicine. But what happened is that some of these other opportunities in kind of the entrepreneurship and just getting this word out there actually were once of a lifetime opportunities. And so I kind of had to like pull the pin and go for it. But it was an extremely turbulent time for like 4 months where I was just like, do I like take the gap year? Do I not? My friends are now going to graduate before me. I don't know. Am I going to go back? I don't know where this life is going to take me. Medicine is so like organized and structured, but now I can't even explain what I do to people because they just don't get it that I work online and do this sort of stuff. So very, very, crazy. But I have to say, and I think, haven't you taken a gap year as well?
I did. I could take a gap year, yeah.
So I have found it like the best thing that I've done, like for myself.
I resonate with that.
It's been amazing just for like the clarity, the ability to just think, and then just kind of reset in so many ways.
Yeah, have you? I think one of the goals that I had set for my gap year was that I was going to find something that would then become my passion. But until now, I still haven't found it, to be honest. I still don't really know what kind of specific thing I'm passionate in. I do slightly enjoy things. Well, there are things that are like of interest to me, but I still haven't found that like, burning passion for something.
Do
My
you feel
question
that
is,
rush?
oh, sorry?
Do you feel that there's a rush? Are you rushing to find that?
I kind of now I'm at a place where I think should I continue living without a passion, or should I find one? Like I'm at that like crossroads now. But in the past, well, the past year or so, I was like, okay, I need to find that like one thing I'm passionate about, but I haven't found it, so here I am. Have you found that thing you're looking for?
No. I mean, like, there's a lot of things, right? Like the whole medicine thing, and then the whole
Yeah.
like growing, business and changing the world. But I the way that I kind of look at it, and it's interesting to kind of see how you're thinking about it, because it sounds like there's that underlying assumption that, there has to be something that you can find. And again, I'm sure you relate, but like we always want to kind of get things going quite quickly,
Yeah.
and resolve this tension. But the thought, the kind of opinion that I have on it for myself is that if I spend enough time on something, it will
Yeah.
probably become my passion just because I'm getting really good at it. So I really enjoy snowboarding, but like that's just the pastime, honestly.
Yeah, so to you then, the way to find that like burning passion is to first try to get good at it.
Like, I would say that guitar was a passion for me for a very long time because I started to get really good at it, but now that's kind of passed, and that's okay. I'm just exploring in life. I mean, I guess in our age as well, like there's so much time that we have and so much we can explore. It's just, I'm just, yeah, just cruising along. And I think a big thing as well, that makes me more content or at peace, is that I just don't tend to have many expectations, because expectations always made me unhappy. Like, especially last year, I was quite unhappy. And then I start to sort see a psychologist, and she just recognize that I always had these high expectations of like what I should achieve and stuff. But if I just don't have those expectations, or if I just set them low and just focus on like what I'm doing day to day, everything I feel far more grateful for. And it's been amazing since. Took many months, but we're finally there.
Great to hear. Another challenge that people face when it comes to studying or just trying to get better at something is a lot of them give up too early. A lot of people give up too early. Well, of course, like when you start something, it's always going to be very easy. But then it gets hard before it gets easy again. Now, I want to ask you what to do when you are in that transition where it's no longer new and exciting. It's starting to get hard. Do you have any advice for people going through that kind of phase?
All I really have to say is that that means you're doing it correctly. If it's actually starting to get hard, that means you're actually learning it. Like, if it feels easy at the start, either you're fluking it or you're not learning anything. Right? So one of the big things, actually, that is, it's got a name. It's called the misinterpreted effort hypothesis. This is the kind of cognitive load that everyone feels when they're actually doing something hard and they're learning for the properly. And when everyone feels that, they always run away from it. They're like, ah, oh, it shouldn't feel hard like this. If I was naturally good at this should just come easy to me. But that's just not how cognitive learning works. It is supposed to feel effortful, like slightly overwhelming, and that is exactly what you want. Whereas the really interesting thing is that we don't have this misinterpreted effort when it comes to like exercise or gym. Like, for example, like when you're running, like you're expecting to reach that kind of, that mental block where it's like, stop, I stop running, this sort of stuff. Or when you're at gym, you feel that tension as you kind of lift something really, really heavy. And your intention, your mindset is to push through that. But when it comes to cognitive effort, we don't do that at all. We do the exact opposite. And it's all just down to like what we tell ourselves. We've been indoctrinated that exercise is good for us now. But if the schools like indoctrinated us to know that like cognitive effort is a good thing, then we would achieve so much more. So it's again just like what we tell ourselves. It's so crazy.
Well, you've also been getting into working out and all. Outside of that, well, just in general, let's say, what are you trying to get better in now?
I've got quite a few of these questions. I've been like helping a lot of my friends recently with their yearly reviews, but I haven't had the time to do my own. So I'm excited to get that question. I would say that my goals right now are just to kind of balance my life a little bit more. So I was working extremely hard last year, like non-stop, and it was on things that I was passionate about, but I literally had zero time to think. So I would say that part of my goals going into next year is definitely health, gym, just really getting into that and mastering it, turning that into my passion. And as well, just kind of exploring and having a little bit more fun, just because I'm moving to Melbourne, and just get to, yeah, enjoy my 20s. But in terms of like actual business and stuff, I mean, those things are always going to be there. There's always more work to do, but keeping it simple for 2024, just health and then balance. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, let's get back to the where you went to India. Can you just give us a glimpse of what you did there?
Okay. So, it's there's a lot of stuff. There was so much that we did. We had almost no sleep.
Ah,
But
really?
yeah. We were working like crazy 'cause you try and cram everything into the trip. Like I might be running a workshop in the morning and then the afternoon and then we fly and then we go to another like business meeting and this sort of thing. But we did student meetups. I think that's honestly one of the highlights for me is that it's just crazy, Like I put this YouTube video out there talking about stuff that has helped me and some of the students that I know. And then there's literally like people all the way on the other side of the world, and they just tell me about how much this has literally changed their life. So that was very, very special for me. We had those students meet up, and there'll be like 100 people there. I'm just like, this is crazy. Like at every city, we'd go to the schools, we learn about what they do, how they learn. And then we speak to them about some of the issues that the teachers or the educators, the leadership teams are facing with supporting those students, helping them out. And then yeah, actual like more serious business meetings with schools and universities to cr try and create those partnerships. And we had a little bit of time to, explore the culture and kind of do some sightseeing. And I think for me, I was expecting that India would be quite special, but like it was overwhelmingly special. Like I don't know. Australians are quite individualistic. I and so like we don't really care about like if there's this new person coming into the school to present and stuff. But in India, we are like standing ovations as like an opening ceremony as we walked in and were given all these gifts and stuff.
I
It
can
was
imagine
really
that,
overwhelming. Yeah, it was so heart touching, heartwarming. And it was actually, I remember like very specifically that I was just about to present, but I was emotionally overwhelmed by how like caring everyone was. And you can just tell the students, like, they actually want to listen to you. In Australia, they're like, oh, they don't care. But like in India, they're just like sitting there and they're just really, really happy for you to be there. So
That's
again, it
amazing.
just changed me. Yeah.
And when are you planning to go back to India?
So mid-February. So yeah, we'll be back there for a week and it's going to be just as crazy. Like workshop, workshop, travel, workshop, workshop, travel, work, work, workshop, shop. And then I'm just going to go to Japan and kind of like, yeah, have some fun and explore and probably go snowboarding.
Okay. And when will you come to Indonesia?
Well, I mean, like, I'm literally always going to Singapore or like Malaysia or like Hong Kong, but to Indonesia, I mean, I think it will happen in the next 2 years. Yeah.
We'd love to actually would love to help make it happen for you, because I think what people are going to get from you is just amazing, and also the team and everything that you're going to come with. And I think it's actually genuinely realistic for us to make it happen. And there's also a huge interest from Indonesian students to go study in Australia, and a lot of them are actually there now. Like Australia is one of the top destinations, so you have a lot of unfair advantages in that sense to actually bring something that people find valuable, and who knows, they can also pay heaps for it. Right, we'd actually love to make that happen. And thank you so much, Archer, for
No,
being
thank
here
you.
again.
Yeah, thanks so much for the hit, and I was really happy to be on here.
Yeah, where can people find you next?
Yeah, so people can find me on Instagram. I'm changing my handle to Archer Newton underscore. You can find me on YouTube as well, Archer Newton, and my TikTok is also Archer Newton. But yeah, thanks so much again, Zahid, for the opportunity.
Thank you. Hope to see you in Melbourne, or hopefully Indonesia.
Yeah, or somewhere crazy like Japan or something as well.
Yeah, thank you, Archer.
Easy. All right, thanks.
Sebelum kita akhiri episode ini, aku mau kasih undangan spesial untuk teman-teman pendengar. Kalau teman-teman suka dengan pembahasan dan topik yang ada pada podcast ini, aku juga punya newsletter mingguan gratis yang saat ini sudah ada lebih dari 15.000 pembaca. Aku biasanya berbagi insights dan pembelajaran hidupku setiap Senin pagi. Dan kalau teman-teman mau menjadikan ini bagian dari awal pekan teman-teman, silakan langsung ke zahidibr.com/newsletter. Sekali lagi, zahidibr.com/newsletter. Terima kasih dan sampai jumpa pada episode berikutnya.